All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, May 4th. I'm Doug Norrie. I'm here with Chris Durrell. Durrell, how's it going, man?
It's going great. May the 4th be with you.
I was going to say May the 4th be with you. Beat me to it. Chris sitting in here for James, who is on vacation for the rest of the week and departs unknown. He said he was going away. No one cared to ask where or why. We just said, we'll cover for you for a couple days. Don't worry about it, buddy. Enjoy whatever you're off doing. So we are here from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. DFSR.com/MLB gets you that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at LineupLab.com, where we're going to offer FanDuel and DraftKings optimal lineups for Major League Baseball, for NBA while the playoffs still chug along, NFL when the season comes around. So go check that out. Free for 3 days, then just $29.95 a month after that. We won't find a better deal in the industry, I don't think. Chris, we have a pretty – I think this is a pretty interesting Friday of baseball here. Talking – we have some pitchers that we can definitely discuss. And some hitters with some real gas cans on the mound with some high implied run lines. So, you know, when we're looking at the – let's start with pitching, obviously. And we're talking about cash games. We have a guy like Gerrit Cole. He's getting very expensive. I'm wondering some of your thoughts here on Cole. He's now priced into basically like – I was going to say Kershaw, but that's maybe not the best example from this season. Like he's priced in the Kluber,
Chris Sale,
Scherzer, Sale – price tier of guys. Do you think, I mean, is that just warranted with Cole? It's still very early in the season. He's 11,000 on FanDuel. He's like 12-4 on DraftKings, which is about as expensive as you see. Do you think, one, is he in this level of pitcher now? Like, do we need to consider him with those other guys I just mentioned based on sort of what he's doing this season?
Yeah, we've got like a 6-game sample size so far this year, and I mean, he's been pretty incredible with like a 13.2 K per 9. And then looking at that swinging strike rate, something I'd like to, you know, just verify that K per 9 rate. He's at 16%, which is like over the elite. It's absolutely amazing where he's at right now. And, you know, he's not giving up home runs. He's giving up average hard contact for the season. And looking even at, you know, things like BABIP and stuff, it's a little bit below where his career averages are. But, you know, it's right there. I think there's maybe a little bit of a regression coming, but that K upside is definitely going to be there. He plays on a good team. They're going to be favorites most of the time. And he's got that offense behind him that's going to score runs. So, I mean, even if he does give up two or three and has an average start, there's still a really good chance he's going to get you that, you know, 5 to 8 Ks in 6-7 innings like that and have a good chance at the win.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about K per 9. I reference this, so I'm a K per 9 truther in the sense that I reference it all the time. Sometimes the better number is actually K percentage because you can have a great K per 9 but the problem is that, like, if you walk a lot of guys, like, your K per 9 will be high, but if you walk a lot of guys, it just means you're giving yourself, like, you're still striking guys out, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a great pitcher. So K per 9 can be a little wonky like that, but his K percentage is 40%. He's striking out 40% of batters. That's just completely unreal. So here's the thing. Here's my thoughts on Cole. He is just a different pitcher, right? Like, so there's guys, and we're going to talk about Happ in a second. I know you have thoughts on him, but when we look at a pitcher and we look at a guy who's been and we talked about this other times in the pod, but he's for his career at 8.7 K per 9. I got someone going in the back. I got the windows open here, by the way, just because it's warm out. So if you hear some background sort of like a beach noise,
someone's mowing their lawn already.
It was a plane going by, but and I'm not going to edit it out. So he's been for his career less than a K per 9 guy. And then all of a sudden, he makes this massive change to just being an elite K guy. But the thing is, some guys, they just kind of run hot. Like, look at Jason Vargas or something like last year, right? Like, he comes in, he's like striking guys out. But you look at his profile, there's nothing different. This year, Cole, he has basically abandoned a whole pitch that was a big part of his repertoire for, like, leading up into this season. He had been a pretty big sinker guy. Like, he had thrown a sinker about 16 to 17% of the time. He doesn't throw it really at all anymore. He throws it 4% of the time. He's dipped up his fastballs right about 50% of the time. But he basically abandoned a pitch. And the thing with Cole was, for a long time in his career, he was just an elite ground ball pitcher. He would be somewhere like in that 46%, 48% ground ball rate, which is really, really high. He's down to 32%. He moved to the Astros, and the Astros said, dude, you're not a ground ball pitcher anymore. You're a strikeout pitcher.
Yeah.
Like he's has this thing where it's like he has a new team, and he's just a totally different guy. He's like, you know that part where you try to get ground balls all the time? F that, man. You're going to strike guys out, and you're going to live off the fastball and the slider and other stuff like that. And now his ground ball rate is 32%, and his fly ball rate is 45%. He's basically just swapped numbers. He's like a totally different guy. Do you think, like, when you see stuff like that, I'm inclined to think that this is sustainable, sort of. Not 13 Ks per 9, but, like, not a 40% K rate. But do you think, you know, with that with those numbers that I just threw out there, do you think, like, is that the kind of profile that you look a lot of Pitch FX stuff? Is that the kind of profile that you look at and say, like, oh yeah, like, there was Gerrit Cole, the old Gerrit Cole, and now there's just Gerrit Cole 2.0, and this might be what he is going forward?
Yeah, like, for the 5 years prior, yeah, like you said, he's been between 45 and 49% ground balls, and all of a sudden now he's at 32% and 45% fly ball rate. Like, it just seems like they, just what you said, like, they told him, no more of this ground ball stuff, just start being aggressive and going for it. I mean, you're probably going to see that home run to fly ball rate climb up a little bit. You know, it's at 8% now. Like, you see Scherzer, he's really aggressive when it comes to K per nine, K percentage and stuff like that. He gives up a lot of fly balls, but they're okay with him giving up those fly balls because he's an elite strikeout guy, and they got that offense behind him. So I kind of compared in that Scherzer sense. He's becoming more like a Scherzer, where they don't care if he's giving up fly balls and some home runs every once in a while, as long as he's got that elite K stuff and he misses bats, like, you know, like 80-90% of his starts, he's going to be up in that elite area. So I think it's fairly sustainable. Like you said, probably more around that. He's going to be like 11.5 to 12 K per nine by the end of the year type thing, maybe around like 30-35% K percentage, but that's still elite. So definitely,
it's just,
I think he's for
it's
sure.
Really crazy. Like I said, we can move on. We'll go on to some of these other pitchers, but it is just really, really rare to see this happen for a pitcher. I really can't stress that enough. Most guys, they are who they are. This is who they've become. These are the pitches that they like to throw. This is their routine, blah, 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 blah. Pitchers are creatures of habit. Most baseball players are, just in general. And it's just so crazy to see this kind of change. So it's cool. I like when an analytics-heavy team like the Astros goes and just, like, makes a decision on guys, and this is not the first one they've done it for. Like, we've seen this with Charlie Morton as well.
Yeah.
So that they've taken these ground ball pitchers and just turned them into strikeout pitchers, and I wonder if this is what you just – I wonder if other smart teams get on this. Now, the other guy that we mentioned before is Hap. Hap is another guy where we've seen the K's spike. He's been right around – he's kind of funny. He's very similar to Cole in this way. He's right around an 8 K per nine guy, and all of a sudden now he's up to 12.5 Ks per nine. Do you put him in the same class? Like, when you look at his Pitch FX stuff and his sort of underlying base numbers, do you have the same feeling about him that you have about Cole, in the sense, like, do you think that these early season numbers are sustainable?
I don't. Like, he's at a 13% swing and strike rate right now, and kind of the thing that I was looking at is where he's getting those swings and misses. And outside of the zone is actually down about 1.5% from last year at 31% swinging strikes outside of the zone. But when you look at inside the zone, he's at 55%. Last year he was at 73%. So that's a huge drop off. So there's not a lot of contact being made when he's throwing pitches inside the zone. His pitches really haven't changed. He's throwing a little bit less of a changeup, but he's back in line with, like, his career averages when it comes to that changeup. He's just missing bats inside the zone, which to me isn't as sustainable as, say, a guy like Cole, who's getting a lot more of a chase rate, guys chasing balls outside of the zone. So I think there's some definite regression coming for Hap, and that's even coming from a hardcore Blue Jay fan here.
Yeah, this is why I think it's so important to – I totally agree with you. I think this is why it's so important to look at the underlying numbers and not just translate. And these are even getting – this is getting pretty deep. And we've had conversations in our chat room – the chat room is available on the site – about talking about why we like or dislike pitchers based on early season performances. And it really – you know, we talked about this with Manaea a little bit, and I'm not going to take, like, the win on Manaea because I played Price, and Price got, like, epically blown up last night. So this isn't a referendum on, like, asking about whether or not a guy's a good player or not. We make plenty of bad plays. But it does pay often to just look and say, what is fueling these early season numbers, and is it sustainable or not? Because you can look at, like we just did with two guys like Cole and Happ, and just say, one, we very much think is sustainable, and one, we very much think is not. Because there are a lot of underlying numbers that will explain – this baseball is great like this. You can find numbers that will explain kind of everything. And I know people will say, well, you can get a number to explain whatever your theory on everything is.
Fit your narrative.
Kind of the case, but not really. I can't narrative my way into making Josh Tomlin a good pitcher, right? So
no.
It works and it doesn't work. Anyway, so I would just caution people and just say, if you have the time, take a look at what is maybe fueling a change in a guy, or what's made a guy different, and decide. There will be numbers that could probably tell you if it's going to be sustainable or not. But after Cole, who I think is probably just – I'm not sure he ends up being the chalk play, but obviously going to be a very popular play tonight. We talked a little bit about Happ and whether we thought those numbers are sustainable. What other pitchers are you looking for on this slate? And we can talk about whether they're not, whether they're, you know, cash game viable, GPP viable. Who are some other arms you kind of are honing in on?
Before getting into those, you know, just looking at the prices of those two pitchers that we just talked about that are right at the top of the salary there on both sites, Hap's got the better park, but when you start looking at, you know, say they're both comparable when it comes to K rate and stuff like that. But tonight, I think that the price is too close to not go Cole over Hap, especially being, you know, looking at the season numbers so far. Arizona's actually been worse hitting team and striking out more than Tampa Bay. And especially, there's a big difference there when looking at, like, the last couple weeks. You know, Arizona's been pretty steady, but Tampa Bay's been just scorching hot. They're actually the hottest team over the last 2 weeks, like a 373 WOBA and 137 WRC+. So for me, I think Cole is going to be the chalk play, and, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense. But after him, one guy that I kind of marked down and looking at, he seems to be a little expensive, but I do like the matchup, is Gio Gonzalez. He started the season going 5+ innings pitch in all 6 of his starts, and he's given up just 1 home run, which kind of seems a little bit out there for him, but he's got a 9.9 K per 9 rate, and the only thing that concerns me is that his swinging strike rate is at 9.9%, which is pretty much average. 10% is kind of that average that you're looking at. But he's got the xFIP of 3.66, Sierra of 3.85, so he's kind of in that average range, so I think it's pretty sustainable for him. And then the Phillies are a little bit less than average hitting team, and they rank a little below average when it comes against left-handed pitching with like a 24% K rate. So he's one that I'm definitely looking at. More on the GPP side of things, I don't think we need to go there for cash. I'd rather spend up and go with Cole tonight. What are your thoughts on Gio?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I just have like PTSD. I rarely say this about a guy because I'm pretty analytical about this stuff, and I almost never let emotions play any part in like any analysis because it just doesn't pay, especially doesn't pay in baseball. You will just dive yourself right down a hole of despair if you try to like let like emotions or what you think about a guy. Gio is like one of the very rare guys. I'm gonna throw Kenta Maeda, like old Kenta Maeda, into this too. It's like I just can't. It's so hard for me to roster them because they just seem like they're just always living on the edge of a total disaster, right? Like, so like the pitch, he goes long into counts. If he's wild, you know, it kind of really early. This is one of the rare times you're going to hear me make a non-analytical case for a guy because his numbers this season are fine and the Phillies are just kind of fine and like, or decent matchup. But I just have a real problem rostering.
He walks a lot of guys too, is the problem.
I think that's mostly what I'm pulling it from. It's like, if you are a pitcher that walks, I feel like sometimes like this about McCullers. If you are a pitcher that strikes a lot of guys out and walks, I just have such a hard time from just an emotional standpoint of just sticking with the guy.
So it's a roller coaster ride.
It's just too much. Yeah. So I don't know. That's my only real case against him, and it's not a great one. You know, actually, it's funny too because if I'm looking at a guy like him, like comparing him to a guy like Berrios, right? Their K rates are around the same range. Berrios seems like he has a better matchup here. What are your thoughts on Berrios? There it looks like, you know, from a pricing perspective, Berrios is actually 400 cheaper than Gio. Mm-hmm. 88 on FanDuel, at least. Gio is 88. Berrios is 84.
400 on both sites, actually.
Right. I mean, what are your thoughts there? I mean, Berrios has been walking less guys. It's an American League matchup, which you don't like as much. The park is way worse. Chicago is very much a hitter's park. The White Sox park, US Cellular, is very much a hitter's park. Wind blowing out there, too. But what are your thoughts on comparing those two guys? Because I look at them kind of the same, and then with Berrios just walking a few less guys.
Yeah, Berrios is number 2 behind Cole in my little pitcher model and the cheat sheet that I come up with. I mean, he's a much bigger favorite, -170 tonight. Slightly better park according to the numbers. I kind of did it like a 3-year average on my sheet looking at park factors. But yeah, like you said, they got the like pretty much the same K per 9 rate, K percentage, but he's walking like over 2.2 batters per 9 less. So there's a lot more safety there. He's given up like 5% less hard contact. Everything just kind of matches up. They got about the same matchup when looking at, you know, Chicago and Washington, looking even the last 14 days versus even the season stats. So I think Berrios makes a lot of sense for cash, being under 10K on DraftKings, and then, like you said, $400 in that mid-8K range on FanDuel as well. So he's definitely my number 2 pitcher. Probably for most part, I think we're going to see Cole, and I haven't looked at the optimized lineups or anything yet this morning, but I think Cole and Berrios are probably going to fit right in there as the top cash game option on DraftKings.
Berrios' FanDuel price, too, makes it actually a closer decision than you would think between him and Cole, because he's just so much cheaper. It's $2,600 cheaper, and that's the difference of, 2600 is a lot. Like, 2600 is the difference between a $2,000 player and, like, Giancarlo Stanton, right? Yeah. So, like, not to say that that's the exact binary decision you're going to make on a certain player, but if you want to just – you want to say to yourself, oi, do I want you know, and usually it just spreads itself out across the lineup. So this is not a perfect example. But, you know, do I want a $2,000, you know, maybe bottom of the order hitter because I want to fit that $11,000 Cole salary? Or do I want to upgrade him to one of the elite guys like a Judge or a Stanton who are in a great spot tonight too? And that actually, that kind of pricing difference does make the decision closer. If you run lineups right now, we have Cole projected at 40, right around 40 FanDuel points, which is pretty high. And then we have Berrios at 36. So 4 points, 10% higher on Cole. And yet the lineups are more geared toward Berrios. And I think it's just because of the kind of savings you get. And then specifically because you're fitting some of those Yankee bats, like I mentioned. So I think it's going to be close. I don't know if we're going to get all the way there on DraftKings with something around 40% of your overall salary cap going to those two guys if you roster them together. Still going to be very close. A lot of day to just kind of go here with certain lineups coming in. Other pitchers that you're looking at before we get into hitters, we talked about Cole, Happ, Gio, Berrios. Anyone else that you are maybe looking at the cheap or maybe as a starting pitcher too, someone that I can sink my teeth into as pivots off the guys we already mentioned?
Now, they're not cheap. They face each other tonight. They're both like near elite prospects. They're facing each other. Walker Buehler and Joey Lucchesi. I think I said that right. I'm not 100% sure. But looking at them both, they were both kind of like Buehler was a top prospect in the Dodger system. And through two starts, I mean, it's a very small sample size, but he's been very impressive. He's gone 89 and 94 pitches. So they're kind of moving him up, getting him closer to that 100 range. And he's got 5 and 6 Ks in those two starts. I think he went 5 innings in both, right around there. The only problem I've seen with him is he's not getting a lot of swings and misses. He's like a 5.5% and a 23% chase rate. And that chase rate, when just kind of in perspective here, the average, league average is right around 30%. And that chase rate is just kind of pitches outside the zone that guys are swinging and missing at. So he's about 6.5% lower than average. I mean, it's only two starts, so we don't have a lot going on there. But on the other side of things, he's getting hit pretty hard with the BABIP at like 357, which is pretty crazy. I mean, we don't have really anything to go off of for a career number for him, but 357 is pretty high for batting average of balls in play there. So, but he does have a great matchup. He's the favorite in this matchup. The Dodgers are on the road. It has dropped since last night. I think they opened at -130. It's down to like -115 now for the Dodgers. So pretty close. Wind's blowing in. Got the park factor there. Even though San Diego, and I want to get into this with you later, talking about park factors, has been one of the higher runs. And I'll kind of get into that context a little bit later. But on the other side, you got Lucchesi. And he flew through the minor league system. He was drafted in the fourth round. So it's not like he was like a top prospect or anything in the draft. But that was in 2016. And he's come up like straight from Double-A this season. And since his first start, going just 4 2/3 innings, he allowed 3 earned runs. He's gone at least 5 innings in his other 5 starts and allowed 2 earned runs, just more than 2 earned runs, just once in that time. So he's got some really, really good numbers so far. And he's flashed with a ton of upside with like almost a 10 K per 9 rate, 12% swinging strike rate. And if you look at his mechanics, he's really comparable to the way Clayton Kershaw pitches, just sitting on the mound. It's pretty cool. I looked at some YouTube videos, so it looks like he's paid a lot of attention to Kershaw through the years. So those are kind of two guys, and I'm really torn between them right now. I'll probably have some in GPPs. I'll probably go with a little bit of both of them. I want to see where the odds go throughout the day, but right now I'm kind of leaning Lucchesi. He's a little bit of a slight underdog, but definitely like him. And both offenses have been, you know, below average this season.
Well, so. Yeah. I mean, like, this is a Dodgers lineup that's been very beat up with injuries, right? They're down Seager on the season. They don't have Puig. They've had injury issues. And when you get to the bottom of that lineup, it's not really much you need to be scared of here. They're running out of some of their options that they had with platoons too, because of these injuries, right? They were a team that would heavily platoon some of their righties and lefties really at the top and bottom of the lineup, but they've been beat up to the point where they're kind of running out of those options. I'm with you I said Lucchesi. I don't know if that's or Lucchesi, but that was like
Lucchesi.
Lucky Lucchesi. So I haven't actually watched him play yet to know what the exact pronunciation is. But the I'm with you on both these guys. It says a lot that the over under is set at 8, which is really pretty low. It says a lot.
7.5.
Yeah. Then it's
oh, it's moved up. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. So the fact that it's even hovering around here says a lot about both these young pitchers that you are getting. And it actually says a lot about the Padres here that they're not just epic underdogs, because this is pretty rare. This is getting into rarefied territory with them. Anytime they play the Dodgers, almost with anyone pitching, they'd be significant underdogs to a point where you really wouldn't be having the same conversation. The fact that they are nearly even money odds going into the game probably says a lot about their pitching situation more than anything. One other guy that, before we get into hitters here, I don't mind taking a look at Zach Wheeler. 8.5 Ks per 9 walks are getting up there a little bit. He's not a perfect option, but he's coming very cheap against a Colorado team. Colorado stinks. Yeah. I don't really know another way to put it. They're just bad. They're one of the worst WOBA offenses in the league, and that's not even accounted for Park. I haven't even adjusted it based on Park here. So the fact that they got to play some of their games in Coors, haven't played a ton of games in Coors yet. It seems like they've been on the road more to start the season. But the fact that they have had the games there and they still sit like third to last or something like that in WOBA, somewhere in that bottom third, says a lot about their offense. Wheeler, a slight favorite here, over under. The line is almost exactly what the Dodgers Padres was.
Yep.
Like Mets -117 with an 8 over under. So I don't mind him. And I actually just like the reason I'm kind of gravitating to him more on DraftKings, at least right now, is the price. At only 7,100, we've talked about this in the past. When you get a guy in that 8.5 to 9 K per 9 rate, and who doesn't walk the ballpark, and Wheeler's kind of pushing up toward that, but if you get him in that 7,000 range, that is a very, very good deal, especially on a day where it seems like it's going to be worth it to pay up for bats. So I think we have a lot of decisions to make at pitcher. There are some other, like I mentioned, total bums going that we can talk about here in a second. But yeah, definitely some interesting pitcher options to take a look at today. All right, let's get into we covered a lot of ground here with pitchers, and we're probably going to start running up close on time. But we do want to talk about some stacks who we can take a look at today. I sort of alluded to the Yankees in that I did think that they might be the team, or likely are the team, that people want to stack today. They have a run line over 6 against Tomlin. Do you think, and we can talk about Josh Tomlin's exploits so far here in the 2018 season, but do you think you see people trying to just prioritize the Yankees for sure in cash, I would say, and then GBPs as well, because of the matchup? Like, do you think that this matchup warrants us maybe going into the top dollar range for New York?
I think New York makes a lot of sense, and people will go that way, especially, you know, we talked about some value pitchers that you can put in. On DraftKings, you can even stack a couple value pitchers to get to New York, especially in GPPs. I mean, looking at the matchup, Tomlin has just been horrible. He's striking out less than 5 per 9. He's given up like 46% hard contact, like a 25.6% home run to fly ball rate. Small sample, but looking at the ground balls, he's given up only like 26% ground balls. So everything's in the air and everything's hard contact. So, and then you're going up against the Yankees with in the 10.5 over under, and they're like projected for like 6.2 runs in the system right now. It just makes a lot of sense to, you know, get in there and get your Gardner, Stanton, Judge, Gregorius. You might not be able to get all 4. Gardner's kind of, you know, he's kind of in that value range leading off, which is nice, but you can at least get 2 of those elite bats in your lineup.
Yeah, Didi is the one guy that we've been a little, our system has not picked up on really this season. So we've been overplaying. We had a lot of Stanton this season, some Judge. Didi's the guy, he's like the odd man out often, at least for our system. Now, that's been incorrect because he's been great. He's got like 1,100 OPS. He's hitting in the middle of that lineup, which is going to be always, you can really stick anyone in the middle of that lineup, and they're probably going to produce at least on the rate stats. But the fact that he's going to come down to earth, he's not going to sustain 1,100 OPS for the course of the season. But he's also like not getting crazy lucky. The BABIP's a little high. He's been lucky, but not crazy lucky. The big news is he's just walking way more. Like, he's been, for his career, he's been a 6% walk rate guy. And this season, he's just walking almost 14% of the time. So, again, I don't know if that's sustainable either. Like, it's rare to see a guy just go from sort of what he is to just, I don't know, elite level patience. Maybe he's figured it out, and that would be great. But that walk rate specifically, and I mean, the 378 ISO is not going to stay up there. He's not going to become like peak Bonds in terms of like his ISO or whatever. But This has been a guy, you know, when you look at our projection system, Didi's been the one guy that we've been a little bit slow on and really haven't rostered probably as much as we should have. That being said, the rest of these guys, Stanton obviously better against lefties. You're not worried about here because his big problem is the strikeouts. Tomlin doesn't really have that as an issue. You're not really worried about him K-ing a lot against Tomlin. Judge actually been pretty good, even platoon splits for his career so far. I think actually he's been slightly better against righties for his career. But, yeah, all that being said, I do think people make it a priority to try to get these Yankees in here for both stat, for both GPP and for cash as well. After them, though, you know, where do we, if we want to, we have a couple different options for pitching today, so I'm not actually totally worried about maybe even recommending some of the more expensive teams, because on DraftKings, if you go with any of the sub 10,000 pitchers that we mentioned before, you're not in as much of a price crunch as you maybe usually would be if we, you know, when we have some of these other elite arms going. Where are you looking here for other pitchers in good spots?
Boston makes sense going against Bartolo Colon. Like, they're third in implied runs right now, or at least when I ran everything first thing this morning. But one that I kind of like pivoting off of Boston to is the Athletics. They got the second implied runs, like 5.25 runs today. And they're facing Andrew Kashner. He's not giving up a ton of hard contact, but he's also not generating a ton of ground balls. He does have a little bit of a higher strikeout rate, so he's going to, you know, there's a little more risk to it. But Oakland's been really good so far this year. They've kind of tailed off a little bit over the last couple weeks, but they have been way better against right-handed pitching so far this season. They've been, I think, second best against right-handed pitching this season next to, I think it's Boston. Yeah, next to Boston. So I like going Oakland, and they're pretty cheap. So you get like Jed Lowry, Marcus Semien. Now, I don't think Lowry's going to be sustainable for the whole season, what he's doing, but just kind of looking at the value that they present in their lineup, I think you can definitely go Oakland over Boston. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, for sure. You touched on my only issue with Oakland with Kashner is that it's sometimes weird with these implied run lines when you do face a pitcher who actually can produce strikeouts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the only thing that makes those plays the variance a little bit higher. It's like when you, I'm trying to think of other examples when you see this. Like when you see a high run line versus like a Luis Castillo, right? And I'm sure off the air I'll come up with other guys that I'm not prepared to totally say, but right now, but there is a certain class of pitcher who can sort of dial up K's at times, and that will cause you some issues with some of those run lines. That being said, I love the A's here, but if I was stacking, that'd be my only reason I wouldn't want to totally stack them for cash. I think that's mostly what I'm getting at, right? Is that like stacking them for cash, the difference between, now they're a lot cheaper, so price comes into play here, but stacking them as opposed to say the Yankees or even like the Red Sox in this case is if the prices are all around the same area, I would want to avoid the one pitcher who actually can at times dial up K's and get himself out of jams, even though he's much worse. Now Matt Joyce is 2,500 on FanDuel. That's a fine cash play even with the strikeouts from Kashner. So I'm not really worried about that there. He'd be like the one guy I'd probably want to target as long as he's hitting leadoff, and that's just because his price hasn't been totally corrected. Just some other just kind of dead arms that are going today. Carson Fulmer, he's going against the Twins. His K rate 6.5, walks up near 5. He stinks. The XFIP is over 6. Twins, you know, they're one of these teams where whenever you remove a middle of the order guy like Sano, you do usually get some other guys filling in. So like, well, obviously someone's got to fill in because someone needs to take the spot. But you get guys maybe whose prices haven't been totally corrected. Like you get Kepler in the middle of the lineup, possibly. He's coming under 4,000 on DraftKings. You like that. Eddie Rosario under 4,000 on DraftKings. Eduardo Escobar has nice dual position eligibility at third base and shortstop. So that's one reason I might want to target the middle of that Twins lineup, because they removed the bat and added guys whose prices haven't been totally corrected across the board. And then you get like Dozier, who's been fine against righty as well. So
another one you didn't mention there, who's kind of especially on DraftKings very, very cheap, is Logan Morrison. Yep. Coming off 38 home runs last year. He has sucked to start the year, but he's really starting to come on. Got a ton of power, and I think we talked about this in chat a little bit last night, how we think a couple of us thought possibly that he's a guy that has a chance while Sano is out to move himself up. You know, if he goes from the seventh in the order up into that fifth, fourth at 3,100 on DraftKings, I think he makes a ton of sense as well if he gets to that middle of the lineup.
He's a guy that's been popping up on FanDuel as well. He's like in the low 2000s.
Yeah.
So he's been bad, the BABIP. But, you know, sometimes you want to look at reasons guys have been bad. His Ks are actually down this year. Walks are down a little bit. BABIP, though, is 70 points off his career number. And sometimes, not that BABIP tells the whole story, and you can just be a lower BABIP guy, which he is. So it's not like... I like to use BABIP up until a point, right? It's not perfect, but his hard con, like if you look at his bat at ball stuff, his hard contact rate was still the same, medium contact a little lower, soft contact up. But whenever I see those hard contact rates at the same level and the BABIP way lower, I do think that there's probably room for growth. And he's definitely one of those guys. Anyone else before we get out of here? Any other team that you want to touch on before we peace out?
Yeah, one last one I'm looking at is the Reds against Wei-Yin Chen. I mean, it's a small sample size for him. He did pick up a win in that one start, but for his career, he's never struck out more than 7.5 batters per nine. He walks, it looked like over the last couple of years, he's walking like over 2.5 batters, and like four out of his six seasons, he's given up like over 10% home run to fly ball rate. And Cincinnati has been much better against left-handed pitching and have been red hot lately. So definitely looking at their lineup, I think we can get some value out of the Reds here tonight. Like Peraza is right-handed bat. Suarez, for sure, I like him if he's going to be hitting in that cleanup spot. You can even, like, for GPPs, like looking at Adam Duvall. And Votto might be for GPPs. He's been pretty good against lefties throughout his career. And looking at the other first base options, just seeing that lefty-lefty matchup, I think he's probably going to be a little bit lower-owned as well. So, and the wind right now is projected blowing out like 12-mile-an-hour straight dead center in like one of the best hitters' parks in the majors right now. So that definitely makes sense for me.
I think Great American ranks something like second or third over the last couple of seasons in just overall power. It's behind Coors and maybe one other park, maybe CSL. I can't remember. But it definitely, no matter what, it ranks almost, I would say, definitely in the top five and probably higher without looking.
That was one thing I wanted to touch on. I mentioned that in the pitchers I was going to touch on later. I got looking at the park factors this season. I just kind of want your take on this. The number one runs, looking at just runs, not home runs or any, you know, extra base hits or anything. Looking at the top five parks, you probably wouldn't guess who two of the top five are. AT&T Park and Petco, usually right down the bottom, like awesome pitchers' parks. Now, my take on that is warm weather. We've had a lot of cold weather in the north, northeast and stuff this season, so runs have been down possibly. That's maybe why the runs have been up a little bit. But then when you go to like the power side of things and you're starting to look at power parks, Great American Ballpark is number one by a long shot. Right. So that's kind of hitting on with the Cincinnati thing. That's where I kind of came in. But is that kind of your feeling with why San Francisco and San Diego are like two of the top five run parks right now, just because it's a little bit warmer earlier in the season?
Yeah, for sure. Cold weather, not for sure, because I haven't really jumped into this too much, but that'd be, I think that's probably the best place to start, is that you've had some extreme cold weather in some of these these northern Midwest ballparks, right? Like specifically Chicago, Cincinnati, Detroit, places like, and Detroit doesn't rate as high in terms of power there, but yeah, when you have cold weather, it just depresses power. There's really nothing to it. It's just harder to hit the ball. So I think, yeah, that's probably a big part of it. There's probably some luck factors into it. I mean, we just have long data sample size of, you know, 5-year trends or whatever, but especially with parks that really haven't changed all that much, right? Like Petco has gone through some changes, but that still ranks just almost near the bottom. Giants are still going to rate near the bottom. I think as we see warm weather even out throughout the country, those parks probably just do tend to come up. And I mean, look, the baseball is changing too. Like it's getting easier to pitch. It's getting easier to strike out. Maybe we just see some smoothing effect across the board, just because it is getting harder to hit. Especially with like lefty matchups, righty matchups out of the bullpen. Anyway, long-winded to say yes. I think you're correct with weather. And it'll be interesting to see how the season numbers play out. DFSR.com/MLB is the site. We'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. You can go check those out. Check out some of the projections. We have some new dev updates coming with some floor and ceiling projections coming out, hopefully in the next couple weeks. We sent those over to the developers in the last couple days, so hopefully they mock it up and we are able to throw out a couple different other ways that you can take the projection. So we're excited about that. Like I said, dfsr.com/MLB will get you the free 3-day trial of what we have now, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Buddy, Chris, great job filling in. I dare to say, I don't want to say it was better than James, but it's going to be close. It only because he'll get offended, but it probably was. It's going to be close enough that we're going to make it a real discussion about who should be on the podcast going forward here. Great job. Enjoy your Friday of baseball.
I had so much fun. Cheers, buddy.